Jairat Madhava Kuncha Bihari Gopi Chanvalabha Givadari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jadaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jadaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari Gopi Chana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jadaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jadaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari Gopi Chana Vallabha Girivardhari Jai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari Gopi Chana Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jadaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jadaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa, Parivrajaka Charja, Astutar Sutta Sri Shimad. His Divine Grace Srila Bhai Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa, Parivrajaka Charja, Astutar Sutta Sri Shimad. His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Nama Charja Hardas Thakur Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Lalita Madan Mohanji Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to these Sambhu devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to these Sambhu devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to these Sambhu devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru Shri Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nastapraishu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 22. Chapter is entitled Prithu Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumaras. Today we're reading text number 45. That's 422. 45. Please repeat after me. Saina patyam charajam cha. Danda netritvam eva cha. Sarva lokadipatyam cha. Veda shastra vidarhati. Saina patyam cha rajam cha. Danda netritvam eva cha. Sarva lokadipatyam cha. Veda shastra vidarhati. Saina patyam cha rajyam cha. Danda netritvam eva cha. Sarva lokadipatyam cha. Veda shastra vidarhati. Please chant. Sainam patyam cha rajyam cha. Danda netritvam eva cha. Sarva lokadipatyam cha. Veda shastra vidarhati. Sainam patyam cha rajyam cha. Danda netritvam eva cha. Sarva lokadipatyam cha. Veda shastra vidarhati. Sainam patyam cha rajyam cha. Veda shastra vidarhati. Vaishnavis. Saina patyam cha rajyam cha. Danda netritvam eva cha. Sarva lokadipatyam cha. Veda shastra vidarhati. Saina patyam. The post of commander in chief. Cha and rajyam. Post of ruler over the kingdom. Cha and danda, ruling, netritvam, leadership, eva, certainly, cha and sarva, all, loka adipatyam, proprietorship of the planet. Cha and Veda Shastravid, one who knows the purport of Vedic literature. Arhati deserves. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation. Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. Please repeat after me. Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of the whole planet. Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. Purport. It's a fairly lengthy purport, so I'm going to read it a little bit more quickly. In this verse, it is very clearly stated that a kingdom, state, or empire must be governed under the instructions of saintly persons and brahmanas like the Kumaras. When monarchy ruled throughout the world, the monarch was actually directed by a board of brahmanas and saintly persons. The king, as the administrator of the state, executed his duties as a servant of the brahmanas. It was not that the kings or brahmanas were dictators, nor did they consider themselves proprietors of the state. The kings were also well-versed in Vedic literatures and thus were familiar with the injunction of Sri Ishopanishad, Ishavasya Idam Sarvam. Everything that exists belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also claims that he is a proprietor of all planetary systems, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Since this is the case, no one can claim to be the proprietor of the state. The king, president, or head of the state should always remember that he is not the proprietor, but the servant. In the present age, the king or president forgets that he is a servant of God and thinks himself as servant of the people. The present democratic government is proclaimed to be a people's government, a government by the people and for the people. But this type of government is not sanctioned by the Vedas. The Vedas maintain that a kingdom should be governed for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and should therefore be ruled by a representative of the Lord. The head of a state should not be appointed if he is bereft of all Vedic knowledge. In this verse, it is clearly stated, Veda Shastravid Arhati, that all high government posts are especially meant for persons who are well conversant with the teachings of the Vedas. In the Vedas, there are definite instructions defining how a king, commander-in-chief, soldier, and citizen should behave. Unfortunately, there are many so-called philosophers in the present age who give instruction without citing authority, and many leaders follow their unauthorized instruction. Consequently, people are not happy. The modern theory of dialectical communism set forth by Karl Marx and followed by communist governments is not perfect. According to Vedic communism, no one in the state should ever starve. Presently, there are many bogus institutions which are collecting funds from the public for the purpose of giving food to starving people, but these funds are invariably misused. According to the Vedic instructions, the government should arrange things in such a way that there'll be no question of starvation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that a householder must see to it that even a lizard or a snake does not starve. They also must be given food. In actuality, however, there's no question of starvation because everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, and he sees to it that there is ample arrangement for feeding everyone. In the Vedas, the Katha Upanishad, it is said, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. The Supreme Lord supplies the necessities of life to everyone, and there's no question of starvation. If anyone starves, it is due to the mismanagement of the so-called ruler, governor, or president. It is clear, therefore, that a person who is not well-versed in the Vedic injunctions, Veda Shastravit, should not run for election as president, governor, etc. Formerly, kings were Rajarshis, which meant that although they were serving as kings, they were as good as saintly persons, because they would not transgress any of the injunctions of the Vedic scriptures, and would rule under the direction of great saintly persons and brahmanas. According to this arrangement, modern presidents, governors, and chief executive officers are all unworthy of their posts because they are not conversant with Vedic administrative knowledge and they do not take direction from great saintly persons and brahmanas. Because of his disobedience to the orders of the Vedas and the brahmanas, King Vena, Prithu Maharaj's father, was killed by the brahmanas. Prithu Maharaj therefore knew very well that it behooved him to rule the planet as a servant of saintly persons and brahmanas. Sainapatyam charajam cha dandane chitvameva cha sarvalokadipatyam cha veda shastravid arhati. Om Ajnana Tirmandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakanlitamscha, He Krishna Kuruna Sindo, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kaupatubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gurmukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangam Lamgayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundi Nataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram Hare Krishna. So before I begin speaking today, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj. And with His mercy and the mercy of all of you, I hope I may speak something of value on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Bahut bahut dhanyavad. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from the fourth canto, 22nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras. And this class today, we will endeavor to discuss the importance of good leadership according to the principles of the Vedas. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, he wrote a book, Leadership in the Modern Age, Leadership for an Age of Higher Consciousness. And in this book, he lists four principles of leadership. He calls them the four C's. They are, number one, good character. Number two, competent. Number three, compassionate. And number four, courageous. So one who rules according to these four C's, he's ruling according to the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, includes these four C's. And of all these principles, the most important is character. That character is the foundational principle of effective leadership. And the Vedic literatures teach character. Like, our boys are going to Gurukul, and many of them are just studying traditional Brahminical arts like yajna and Sanskrit. And then sometimes people ask, but what about these, you know, traditional Western topics? They're not learning these topics. How they survive in the material world? What we're teaching in Gurukul is primarily good character. So someone with good character, he'll be able to work with a team, get along well with others, he'll be able to function effectively. So good character is the most important aspect of leadership. Yadyad archarati shrestas tatta devataro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. That Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad archarati shrestas, a leader of society, he sets the example by what he speaks and by his own behavior. And seeing that behavior, the common people will follow. So we want to have an effective society, a society of people with good character. So in order to have that, the leaders, they need to have that good character themselves. Just like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he set the perfect example of the Paramahamsa in ISKCON. And we are always looking to him as our role model. We're reading Prabhupada Lilamrita. We're speaking about his pastimes, his life. We're taking inspiration from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, my disciples will be known. Who will be known? Who is my disciple? How is someone going to be known as your disciple, Srila Prabhupada? People asked. And Prabhupada said, my disciples will be perfect ladies and gentlemen. So this is the power of an effective leader, leads by example and exemplifies perfect traits of character. So Srila Prabhupada is a wonderful example of that. And then Prabhupada mentions in the purport today that the leader should not lead for the benefit of the people, it should be for the benefit of Krishna. I grew up in the United States, and the Constitution of the United States says this is for the people, it is by the people, and for the people, and of the people. But government is not for the pleasure of the people. Government is for the pleasure of Krishna. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam nyatvamam shanti mrichati. At Bhokta, Krishna is a supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. So everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. But in today's day and age, the people are electing the rulers, and those rulers are being elected just on the hope that they will provide nice sense gratification for the people. So whoever promises to give the most sense gratification to the people gets elected. So it's actually one group of animals just voting for another animal in office. So this doesn't work. And as a result, we see society depreciating and degrading. Now, in the United States, 70% of all college students report utilization of illegal drugs. So that's a very large portion of society that is taking to this intoxication. And what to speak of divorces? 70% of all marriages lead to divorce within 3 years. And this is a statistic that's more than 10 years old. today's age, it's so much more. Recently, a few years back, we had a president from one very prominent country in the world, and he was caught having illicit relations with his secretary. And he said that, actually, you should not be so concerned with what I do in my private life. You should be concerned with how I lead the people in my public life. So this is not going to be of any benefit to anyone. And then someone will think, well, the president is having illicit relations. If I do it also, no problem. They will, and thus society is going to hell. The blind are leading the blind. Very, very difficult. I remember when I was a small child, I was around maybe 10 years old, and I was riding on the train from New York City back to our house in Westchester County with my mother. And I saw someone sitting next to us with the newspaper. It said, Nixon is impeached. Impeached means you kick someone out of office. So Nixon was the president, and he was removed by the people because of inebriety, financial inebriety. He sent some of his men to steal money from the other person's campaign, promotional campaign. So, and during the hearing, he was saying, I am not a crook. I am not a crook. I am not a crook. But he was a crook and a liar, and they removed him. So these are leading countries in the world, and we see that their so-called leaders, the presidents, the top positions are being held by people with poor character. And thus, the state of the world today is really going to hell. So what to do about this? Well, we can study Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam shukamukara mrita drava samyutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam moharaho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the mature fruit of the desired tree of the Vedic literatures. It emanates from the lotus lips of Srila Shukadev Goswami, and therefore this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was always relishable for all, including the liberated souls. So Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us what is actually the proper qualities of the leader according to the Vedic literatures. So first, let's just briefly review this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear how Maitreya Muni is speaking to Vidura. In this section, Prithu Maharaj meets the four Kumaras. We have a section, text 41 to 48. Prithu Maharaj praises the Kumaras. This section, we're now 45, so there's the middle of the section. He worshiped them with his words, Satyam Bruyam Priyam Bruyat, that the words should be truthful, the words should be pleasing. And Prithu Maharaj was very, very expert in offering pleasing words to these four Kumaras. Due to Lord Vishnu's blessings, you have come to my house. You are so compassionate. What can I give you? I want to give you charity, but all I have are the remnants of what the sages gave me. So just some background, the brahmanas, they killed Vena because he was not ruling according to the religious principles. Then they churned Vena and they got Prithu. Prithu came from there. And then Bhrigu Muni and the other sages, they gave the kingdom to Prithu Maharaj. So he considered this sadhu cheshtam, this uchist. Uchist means if you eat something and then you're left over, it's uchist. It's your leftovers. So he felt, I cannot give my leftovers to these four kumars, to these sadhus. Just like the son cannot chew the food and offer it back to the father. Because these kumars are great exalted personalities. This is another very important aspect of Vedic culture, is that we have different levels of relationships. There are the exalted seniors. There are the friends. There are the juniors. Whereas in the Western countries, everyone's equal. You know, it's like, I was meeting with my parents, my family. We were four, mother, father, brother, sister. This nuclear family. After a while, it disintegrated, became subnuclear. It became like a nuclear explosion. So my parents, we would have a meeting once a week and discuss our family affairs. And my mother and father, they would discuss, and then they would ask us children, okay, what do you think? So it was all like a round table discussion. But this is not the culture. The culture is that the senior member should give guidance to the junior members, and the junior members should follow. So the son cannot chew the food and offer it back to the father. But indirectly, as we're hearing in today's verse, Prithu Maharaj is offering everything back to the Kumaras. Yesterday's verse, we heard, the king continued, therefore, my dear brahmanas, my life, my wife, which that's also kind of controversial, whether he offered his wife or not. Then in some readings, Dara means wife. But in other readings, the word Roy, or wealth, is used. So, but he offered everything. My life, my wife, my wealth, my children, my home, my furniture, my household paraphernalia, my kingdom, my strength, my land, and even my treasury. His personal treasury, that personal possessions that the different citizens had gifted him. But he said, I'm not keeping anything for myself. Everything is for you. Even Srila Rupa Goswami, he kept 25% for emergencies. But Prithu Maharaj said, I'm not keeping anything. Take everything. It's all for you. And Sridhar Swami, he resolves this dilemma of how can the king offer what he received back, this uchist. Sridhar Swami says, this offering is just like the servant's offering of food to his master. The food is already belongs to the master. The master gave the money, purchased the bhoga, so it belongs to the master. But the servant, by preparing the food, makes it acceptable to the master and thus offers it to him. In this way, everything belongs to Prithu Maharaj was offered to the Kumaras. So he offered everything, even though he was a little reluctant, because it's uchist, but still, he's offered everything to the Kumaras. Also, it's favorable for devotional service. Prithu Maharaj is a devotee, and one sign of Sharanagati is whatever is favorable to bhakti, we do that. Whatever is unfavorable, we don't do that. So it was favorable. So he offered everything. Today's verse, Sanyapatyam cha Rajyam cha. So Sanyapatyam means the commander-in-chief. And Rajyam means the king, the ruler of the state. Danda netritvam eva cha. Danda is a stick. Danda is used to chastise. So the chastiser, the first to chastise. Sarva loka pipatyam cha. The Sarvaloka, the ruler of the entire planet. So who is qualified for these posts? The commander-in-chief, the ruler of the state, the leading with the danda, and the proprietor of the whole planet. Veda-shastravid arhati. Only one who's Veda-shastravid. Vid means to know, and Veda-shastra means the Veda-shastra, the scriptures. Only Veda-shastravid, one who is knowing the Shastras, only person like this is qualified to chastise, to be the commander-in-chief of the army, to be the king. The Veda Shastravid, this is the qualification that's required. Must know the Shastras. So in the purport today, Srila Prabhupada writes that modern presidents, governors, and chief executive officers are all unworthy of their posts. He says, modern officers are all, sarva, sabi lok, they're all unworthy. They're all karab, they're all tucham, they're all despicable. Because Because they're not conversant with the Vedic administrative knowledge, and they do not take direction from great saintly persons and brahmanas. So actually, I was thinking about it today. Who do the modern so-called leaders of society take guidance from? They're maybe very puffed up, and they say, I think it is like this. Let's do it. Let's declare war. Let's go get the oil. Let's do this and that. So maybe they're just self, they're their own guru, right? But it said, he who is his own guru has a fool for a disciple. He who is his own guru has a fool for a disciple. Right? So our leaders, they're just managing themselves, or they're taking guidance from the Vaishyas. Someone is giving big, big money for their campaign, and then they want some tax reduction so they can make money. So it's a Vaishya-led economy. The Vaishyas are guiding the administrators. And the Vaishyas are mostly guided by modern-day Vaishyas, by greed. They have some greed. So therefore, they don't care what happens to the people. You know, they make, you know, baby food, and they find out it causes cancer. So they sell it to Africa, and they sell it to other countries and third world. And they don't care the death and destruction. And the leading field of economics today, the most powerful and most prominent economic machine, production machine, is in the defense budget. People are spending billions and billions and billions of dollars on weapons. So who signs that, yes, we're going to spend, our country will spend $20 billion on weapons this year? It's these administrative heads now. And this, having these weapons, can we eat weapons? No. Prabhupada said you cannot eat the tires and the rubber and the nuts and the bolts producing in the factories. We have such a wonderful example here in Govardhan Eco Village, growing the vegetables and having the cows and producing food. This is how people should be putting their energies. And Kavichandra Swami Maharaj was showing me how there's so many plants that we're giving away to the neighboring villages so they can grow their fruit trees and produce their own food. This is what the administrative head should be guiding the people into proper food production and proper education. Shuryam tejudvatir daksham yudhe chapya palayanam dhanam ishvaram bhavascha kshatram karma subhavam jam. These are the qualities of the real kshatriya. The shuryam, they're very strong, tejas, they have power. They're daksham, they're expert, they're competent. Yudhe chapya palayanam. They're ready to be at the front of the battlefield, not in the back. Modern day so-called leaders of state, if there's going to be a fight, where are they going to be? They'll be at the front? No, they'll be in some cave, you know, some artificial created cave under the ground with nice AC running. So if the bombs hit the cave, the bunker, they're protected like this. Or they're flying in some plane in the air to save them. Yudhe chapya palayanam. Dhanam, they're very charitable. So nowadays, a lot of the foodstuffs is going to waste. You know, if someone has a surplus, they want to keep the prices up. So they rather destroy the food than bring the food prices down. So this is the nature of the greed in the world today. That Prabhupada mentions in the purport today about starvation. He says starvation is just due to mismanagement. That actually there's enough food. Ishavasya idam sarvam yatkincha jagat cham jagat chena chak chena bunjita magritha katsisvidhanam. That everything in the supreme world is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord, and everyone should only take their rightful claim, knowing well to whom everything belongs. So someone is taking too much, they're hoarding it, and they're just out of greed. But a proper leader, a proper kshatriya would use the danda according to religious principles and say, no, you cannot hoard the food, you have to distribute it. So everyone should be able to eat. He must be compassionate. Titikshasva krunika suridam sarva dehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadavaha sadubhushanaha. That the kings of the Vedic era are rajarshis. They're not only administrators, but they're also sadhus. They're saintly persons. And thus the compassionate nature is there. And the most important compassion to distribute is the religious principles as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. The rains of good fortune showering down upon the people of this world. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Husumeda Saha. The rains of good fortune flowing from this world and the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Janmashtami is coming up in a few days. And just to get in the mood, I thought I would try to make a little connection here. We see a very powerful ruler mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very powerful ruler. His name is Kamsa. And Kamsa, he did not rule according to religious principles. He was not, Veda Shastravid. He may have some knowledge of Shastra, but he was not applying it. He was not. It must be more than just lip service. It must be more than just armchair philosophy. These principles are meant for application. So we see what was happening. It was the marriage of Vasudev and Devaki. They were on the chariot. There was so many drums and trumpets and horns and musical instruments and dancers. And a big, big dowry was there with elephants and soldiers and 200 maidservants. And it was a big procession. All of a sudden, the voice came from the sky. Kamsa, you fool. Don't you know that the eighth child of Devaki will kill you? And Kamsa got very nervous, started trembling. And then he said, oh, what should I do? Devaki's child will kill me? I will kill her. Took out his sword and was about to sever her head from her body. Vasudev said, wait, you can't kill a woman. You shouldn't kill your sister. Shastra is saying, Veda Shastravid. If you know the Shastra, you know that there are five parties that need protection. The women should be protected. The children should be protected. The cows should be protected. The brahmanas should be protected. The old people should be protected. How can you kill your sister? How can you kill her on her wedding day? She's a woman. But Kamsa was ignoring these religious principles. Kamsa was ignoring the Veda Shastravid. And he was ready to kill her. But then Vasudev said, okay, wait. I promise you, I will give all the children of Devaki to you. And Vasudev was famous for his honesty, his integrity. So Kamsa said, yes, go ahead. So then later, Kamsa, after, again, when Subhadra was transferred into the womb of Devaki and she appeared as Durga Devi, and then Kamsa was ready to kill the small baby girl, even though she was a girl. So he was ready to kill a woman, and he was ready to kill a small baby girl. And then he told his ministers, told the demons, kill all the people, all the children in Vraj. What a demoniac ruler. Just like our rulers today, they're saying, you want to have abortion? You want to kill millions of children in the womb? Go ahead. You want to kill the cows? Open the slaughterhouses. They're ready. It's just totally demonic civilization leaders of today, following in the footsteps of Kamsa. Kamsa's the demoniac Acharya. So he tried to kill, and then he tried to kill Vasudeva and Devaki. During the wrestling match, when Krishna and Balaram, they killed Mustika and Chanara, and then Kamsa wanted to kill Vasudeva and Devaki. So old people, he's ready to kill old people also. Cows, old people, children, brahmanas, he's ready to kill the brahmanas. He's practically breaking all of them, right? Am I missing one? Cows, children, old people, brahmanas, and women. Yeah, Devaki and so many others. So Kamsa is totally in ignorance of this Veda Shastravid. He's not in ignorance, but he's not following. So that's very important. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant to distribute this Rajavidya, Rajagudyam, Pavitram Edamuttamam, Prajakshavagamam, Dharmyam, Susukam, Kartam, Avyayam. It's meant to distribute this Rajavidya, this king of knowledge, so that society can peacefully run. So in foil or in contrast to Kamsa, we see King Shibi. King Shibi was ruling his kingdom. A pigeon flew in and said, "Please save me, save me." And King Shibi said, "Yes, I will give you all protection." And then an eagle came in and said, "That pigeon is my food. What about me? Protect me too." And the king said, "Yes, I will give you whatever you want to eat." And the eagle said, "I will eat your flesh." So King Shibi said, "Bring the scales." So they put the pigeon on one scale. He started cutting off flesh, putting it on the other side of the scale, his own flesh. And the pigeon was just so heavy that eventually all of his flesh was off. He was just some bones, a little bit of skin. And he said, "Okay, now put my whole body on the other side of the scale." So then the pigeon and the eagle, they turned into Indra Dev and Agni Dev. And they said, "We're just testing you like this." But just see, he's ready to sacrifice his whole life for his praja, for his citizens of his country. So this is the self-sacrificing nature of the king, following the Dharma, the religious principles, and ultimately understanding Ishavasa idam sarvam yat kincha jagat jam jagat, that everything is belonging to Krishna and everything is for Krishna's pleasure. We don't rule for the people, we rule for Krishna. And when we rule for Krishna, then just as when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and fruits are automatically nourished. So similarly, when we rule for Krishna, all the citizens will be properly nourished. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. I knew if I was just patient enough, someone would ask a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for wonderful class. I just wanted to ask that you mentioned that His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj mentioned about the four seeds.
Yes.
So you just talk about one seed character. So about three seeds, can you mention some briefly something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good character we discussed. Competent, also briefly we touched upon. This is Shoryam Tejo Dhritir Daksham. Daksham means expert. So this is one of the qualities of the king, the Kshatriya, is that he should be expert. He should be competent. So there are many different areas of competence within the Kshatriya realm. One of them, Dhanurvidya. He has to be able to shoot arrows, fight with different weapons. So then, Dhanamishwaram Bhavascha. Yudhe Chapya Palayanam. When there's a fight, he has to be at the forefront. Kshatriya, one who protects. He has to be expert in protection. So that's his one of his main fields. Then there's different aspects of how to deal with the enemies, how to take care of your people, devotee care. He has to be expert in caring for his praja, making sure everyone has food and everyone. He has to know everyone's dharma, because part of the dharma of the kshatriya is to make sure everyone is doing their proper services according to their nature. Everyone should be engaged. No one should be just lying idle. And he has to be expert in dealing with the brahmanas, who are his ministers and councils, in order to get the information from them and then how to implement it. So organizational skills, communication skills, many, many different skills are required for kshatriya. Anyone else have any other thoughts? What are the different skills required for expertise for a kshatriya? Something I haven't mentioned yet. Okay. If you think of something, let me know. Then the compassionate, we spoke about compassion. Compassion, real compassion means giving spiritual knowledge to others. That's real compassion. So this amanidvama, damvidvama, ahimsa, this is ahimsa, non-violence, is actually giving real spiritual knowledge. So giving this knowledge that I am not this body, I'm an eternal spirit soul, jivera supahoi krishnara nityadas, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Recently we've having a lot of discussion of the glories of Indian independence. And it's very glorious, yes. And also the understanding, one of the most glorious things about India is because this is the home of spiritual knowledge, where we have this Vedavid, this Veda Shastram, Veda Shastravid, it's here. And the most important aspect of Veda Shastravid is that we're not this body, we're eternal spirit souls. So we have to get over this upadhi, that I am Indian, I am American, I am white, I am black, I am man, I am woman. I am not any of these things. Jivera supahoi krishnara nityadas. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is real compassion to give this message. Because then we know we're all brothers and sisters. It's not just Hindi, Chinni, bye bye. It's everyone is brothers and sisters. We're all the eternal children. Aham bija prada pita. We're all the eternal children of the Supreme Lord. And then the fourth C is courage. So it takes courage, it takes strength to do what we know is right. Sometimes we tend to fold under the pressure of the mass opinion. So people will come to this, you should do this, you should do that. So many pressures will be there. You'll get more money. Financial pressures were there. If you do this, you'll get more money. But no, we should always do what is right. Other pressures were there. Your family will be happy if you do like this. I have to not just think of my family, I have to think of the entire society. We should not have vested interests. We should not have a conflict of interests. We should have one interest, and that interest is service to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this requires courage. To have integrity requires courage. So this requires strength of heart. Sometimes we make mistakes, we have fall downs, subtle or gross. It's due to weakness of heart. So we need strength of heart. Strength of heart comes from courage. That courage will come from spiritual strength. That spiritual strength comes from the association of devotees. And Srila Prabhupada is so kind. Srila Prabhupada is so kind that he's given us this wonderful association of devotees ISKCON, where we can come together and hear and chant the glories of Lord Krishna together, and in this way strengthen each other. There's strength in numbers. If you have one stick, one small stick, ek chota lakri, you can easily break it. But if you have a big bunch of sticks, once I did a drama of this in a brahmachari class in Chopare, a big bundle of sticks, I tied them together. I said, anyone can break? Shamananda Prabhu, he raised his hand. Actually, it was not that big a bunch of sticks, and he broke the sticks. But anyway, the principle is there, that if you have a big bundle of sticks that are all stuck together, then it's very, very difficult to break them. So ISKCON is like that. We have to stick together. Sometimes we'll have differences. We must respect the quality of unity and diversity that will always be there. But ultimately, we stick together, we'll have the strength, we'll have the courage to move forward with good character, competency, and compassion. Thank you very much. We'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.